Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my interview today is with Yesenia Arreola. Yesenia came to the United States from Mexico when she was six. Her parents were subsistence farmers who wanted their four children to get an education, one that wasn't accessible to them in Mexico. Yesenia took every advantage of the opportunity and excelled in school. She graduated from Colorado Mountain College and Regis University with honors. When I first interviewed her in 2012, she had just returned to the valley she calls home to take a job with Colorado Mountain College as their youth coordinator, helping high school students realize their dream of college. 5 years later, I sat down once again with Yesenia in July. She had just graduated from Denver University with honors and a master's in social work. She took time out from her job as director of Colorado Mountain College's Upward Bound program to reflect on the last 5 years and share her immigrant experience.
As an immigrant in this country, there are so many opportunities and yet so many challenges. And that things often are even harder than they seem. As an immigrant, nothing comes easy for us. And I think I'm emotional reflecting on the last 5 years because both in my grad school education and in my own personal experience, being a minority, a woman, in this country is not easy, and yet I'm thankful for it in a way because it has formed me to the strong woman that I am and with the values, and in a way I wouldn't have it otherwise. So it doesn't come from a place of resentment. It comes from a place of fire, you know, a fuel that adds to the fire, and that in a way molds us who we are.
You talked about that it's never easy, and it's never easy that the challenges as well as the blessings shape you. What are some of the challenges that you've had to endure and overcome in the last 5 years that have helped shape you?
Well, I think first of all, like deciding my education, my educational path, that's not easy because there's rarely people who have done it, who are first generation or Latina. There's very few Latinas in graduate school education. And now place that in a rural town of Western Colorado, the amount of role models that exist are diminished. It's almost like creating a path that doesn't exist. You know, it was a tough decision in itself for me to pursue my graduate school education because my son was 2 years old. Even though I had the full support of my family, my husband, and even my two-year-old who didn't necessarily understand why I was with a book and a computer in front of me, he was my biggest motivator. But I had to stop that completely when my husband's immigration process took a whole unexpected turn.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Yesenia Arreola. Yesenia recently graduated from Denver University with honors and a master's degree in social work. She's talking about the challenges that she has encountered in working on her degree while raising a family and helping her immigrant husband get his residency status. What happened? Can you give us the details of what happened to your husband?
So when my husband and I got married, we immediately started the immigration process as a U.S. citizen, petitioning for him as my spouse. And all of that takes time. It's not within months or years. And obviously every case is very different. And in his case, we went through the process to the point where we knew that he was going to have to leave the United States to get his visa in his birth country, which is Mexico. And we knew we had to file a waiver for his presence here in the U.S. And when President Obama came into office during his second term, he put in place what was called a provisional waiver to prevent families from splitting apart. Because part of the process when somebody already marries somebody in the United States, the spouse would have to return back to their home country and then come back to get their visa. And so under President Obama, there was a provisional waiver where the waiver was fulfilled inside in the States, and then he would just need to go to his birth country to get his visa, which diminished the time that families were set apart. So that was something that we did in state and it was approved. But when he went to his visa, he was denied and repetitioned to file the waiver, which usually could take anywhere from 1 to 3 years. And that was something that we weren't expecting. And it definitely took a toll on me emotionally, and it put me in a very fragile medical situation. And it was really hard for me because I consider myself a strong person. But when it comes to mental health, it was definitely something that was challenging, because depression, anxiety are things that definitely were not talked about in my family. And I think part of our Latino culture is there's a certain stigma to it too. But for me personally, it made me feel very, very powerless. So due to that, I had to take a medical leave of absence from school and take care of our son, take care of myself, and really rally for my husband to return. I think my strength was put in that and my family being together. And thanks in great part to the community that supported me, the multiple organizations that also supported me, along with congressional intervention, my husband was able to return within less than 3 months.
You felt that you always saw yourself as a strong person, but what you describe is something that most people don't have to try to endure, to balance the loss of your spouse. And, you know, he's there, but you can't reach out. He can't help you. You're raising your child by yourself. You're in grad school. You have a job. Yeah, that would take a toll on most anyone, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, reflecting on it, it's hard because I have been the person that has always tried her best, tried to be the best in everything that I do. And at that point, I think there's a lot of vulnerability, a lot of powerlessness of we did everything we needed to. And yet we in a sense, I felt betrayed, or maybe betrayal is not the right word, but it's hard being amongst all these systems of power and still struggling, even though you managed to, in a sense, weave through the process.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Yesenia Arreola. Yesenia is describing how her husband's detention by immigration impacted her family. So you followed the rules the way they were laid out for you, and suddenly the rules changed. Or another branch of government didn't honor the other branches.
Yeah, I think it worked that way. I'm a very systems perspective person, I like to see the bigger picture, you know, the macro level picture. And in the bigger picture, it was just very difficult for me to understand how these systems, just out of one decision, it creates a big impact. And I was caught in that. And I think mostly as a mother, it hurt even more because my son was 2 years old and he couldn't reconcile what had happened. And you put that into perspective, you know, how we come into humanity without understanding all of these social constructs. My son would ask for his dad and I couldn't give him his dad. And that was hard. In the end, when I would ask him for his dad, he would just reconcile that he left. And it took a while for him to understand when he came back and to rebuild that relationship. And of course, children are very resilient, so he was able to understand that later. But as a graduate professional now, I understand a lot about the adverse childhood experiences, and I can't take away how in the future my son may be affected by this. It'll manifest itself in some type of way, whether that's an insecurity, whether that's attachment to somebody else or to himself. Like, I understand much more and how to, I guess, help him with that too.
I think that's one of those stories that I've heard again and again, immigrant families who have one of either a father or a mother who can't join the family, or the parents have to go away and try to make a life before they can have their children come, so children spend time with their uncles and aunts and grandparents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is part of immigration that no one sees except those who are experiencing it, the children who have to live that. And it's powerful and does really affect us.
Yeah.
Your son's probably young enough that it won't be part of his memory, but it is, again, part of the parents' memory. You're trying to make everything all right, and that's what immigrant parents do, is they make it all right for their children and try to make, well, immigrant parents in general, mm-hmm. to get their kids through difficult times without them really knowing that there were difficult.
Right. Well, and it's true. In immigration, I think children are the ones who would, I guess, suffer the most. And in my graduate school, we learn a lot about, we have a class about immigration, and we talk about unaccompanied minors who travel across borders, not just to the U.S., but to other countries without their parents. In a way, yeah, everything is relative. And I recognize and I acknowledge that it was a very difficult and traumatic time. And in the sense, I also felt very privileged. And I was aware of my privilege of understanding systems, of knowing how to advocate for myself, and the way that my community supported me too.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Yesenia Arreola. Yesenia recently graduated from Denver University with honors and a master's degree in social work. She's talking about the challenge that she has encountered in working on her degree while raising a family and helping her husband get out of immigration detention. So how quickly were you able to get back to graduate school, to your studies?
I was able to get back to graduate school within that same year. And I think it was part of my innate coping mechanism, I guess I would call it, because I wanted to suppress as fast as possible everything that happened, because all of our lives were shattered so quickly. I wanted to put it back together as fast as possible. So my husband got back to the States on April 15th, and by September 6th, I was enrolled back in school. Now, although school wasn't, you know, at the forefront of all of this, I mean, this isn't about, you know, I was in school and this happened and I was back to school. There's obviously a lot of other stuff that I was concentrating on, which was my son's health, being able to find a home since we were left, in a sense, homeless, and being able to just put all my life back together.
How were you left homeless?
So when my husband left, we were living in Aspen at that time. And when he left, because he was, I don't want to give too much details, but he was a property manager of a property over there. And because he was no longer there, obviously we couldn't stay there anymore. And so during that time, we had to leave that property and live with my parents. And yeah, in a sense, we were homeless. We didn't have a home until my husband returned. There's so many things that happened through that.
What did that feel like when you were handed your master's degree in social work from the University of Denver? What was that moment like for you, given what you had endured?
Well, it's definitely a lot. It means everything, because every time I wanted to give up, and it happened a lot within the last year when I was about to finish, I just felt like I had sacrificed too much. You know, when that would happen, when every time I would want to quit, I would see my son and he'd be like, "What are you doing, Mommy?" "Well, I'm going to do homework." He'd be like, "Again?" And just working full time and going to school and knowing that at the anchor of everything and the most important thing for me and the most important value is family, I felt like I was sacrificing family a lot for it. And so every time I wanted to give up, my husband would always remind me, and he would almost at the end almost would be demanding, because he's like, no, this isn't yours anymore. This is ours. We have sacrificed too much for it. And I wholeheartedly believe that if I didn't have my husband or my son, like, I wouldn't be receiving that degree that day. So it was very emotional for all of us in that sense, because it had taken twice the amount of time than it took all of my other classmates. So that's a reminder too, as a Latina in graduate school, that it doesn't come easy. And when I held that degree, I not only represented my husband, my son, who had been with me along this path, it also represented the struggle through the 4 years of being separated and then being reunited. So it had a very strong symbolism to the family. But I think it also holds a symbolism for future generations. Education has been something I've been passionate about, because it's something that I inherited from my grandma.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Yesenia Arreola. Yesenia recently graduated from Denver University with honors and a master's degree in social work. She says she couldn't have done it without her husband and her son and her family, and a very important person that she knew as a child, her grandmother. What was it that your grandma instilled in you? Why did she see the value of education in a way that maybe your parents didn't?
Well, I don't think that my parents just didn't. I think that my grandma just naturally loved learning, and in a way that's the most beautiful gift she gave me and that she inherited me with. Ever since I could remember, like, I remember vividly living in Mexico and sitting down, and she would always have paper and pencil in front of me, and she would ask me to write numbers, write letters, recite multiplication tables. And she would say, you know, "Yesenia, you're going to be a teacher one day." Of course, I would say, no, I don't want that. I don't want to be with kids. And that's what I do now.
So. Oh, yes. Grandmother's wisdom.
Yeah. And it's amazing that at 4 or 5 years old, she knew who I was. And it's, you know, it's been taking me 25 years to understand and find who she knew when I was 4 years old.
So how old were you when you came here?
So I was around 5 or 6 years old when I came to the United States.
So it was really difficult to leave grandmother there.
Yeah. I mean, she would come often and visit. But yeah, definitely my time with her was done there. But my connection with her was always there, you know, when I would talk to her and she would encourage me. And I know that, you know, the day that I graduated, I was thinking a lot about her because I know she would have been proud. And I know she's proud from afar. And in a way, like, she was another person who influenced me to finish, because I think it would have meant a lot to her. Her name was Maria del Refugio, but she went by Cuca, so she was mi mamá Cuca, and I never called her grandma. She was my mom. Clavel's called her mom.
Yeah, I have a picture of my grandmother that I keep in my room, and she was a guiding light for me as well. The same kind of soulful person who is still with me, and I'm sure you'll carry your grandmother forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, both of my grandparents, I think the greatest thing that I received from them was their wisdom. There wasn't a time when I wasn't with my grandparents when they were saying something that was full of wisdom. And there's a lot of things that I regret, you know, not being able to be with them more time or not being able to ask them more. You know, my last visit, a couple of my last visits to Mexico, I learned that my grandpa was a bracero in the 60s. And
explain what that is for those who don't know.
So a bracero was like Mexican laborers that came to help out as labor hands for the farm worker shortage that happened during that time.
A declared program in the United States, the bracero program, is official, yeah.
Yeah, so bracero coming from the word brazo, which means arm. And during that time, many people were brought from Mexico, provided them with visas to work authorization, a social security number, and come and tend the farms and
harvest the crops.
Yep. So I remember my last visit, we bought asparagus at the market and grandpa said, please don't show that. I don't even want to see those. And I was like, why, grandpa? He's like, I have bad memories of harvesting asparagus. And then he would start telling us stories about working in the farms in the U.S. And that kind of tied me back to the struggle of social justice. In a way, my grandpa was related to the struggle of Cesar Chavez. And I had always questioned where my quest for social justice came from. And for some reason, hearing about my grandpa's story kind of made that connection. And even though he wasn't necessarily tied to the struggle, he definitely endured a lot of the injustices during that time. I think for me, it just put a lot of things into perspective, into finding out a lot about myself. And in a sense, that's what the 5 years have been. A lot of experiences and life has given me a lot of opportunities to reflect on who I am. You know, some more forcibly than others. And a lot of people ask me now, you know, what's next? So what now? So before you ask that question, because that's a very common question, You know, I don't know. I really think that this is a moment of pause and reflect. I think I have to be really in tune and just be a good listener. Now, once, obviously before these 5 years, I would hear from a lot of mentors and be like, you know, Yasmin, you just have to listen. I really didn't understand what that meant. I think I'm beginning to. I feel like I really have to start listening to my inner heart. And for now, I'm happy with where I am with my family. And I think that's what it's time for. It's time for family for a little bit.
That was Yesenia Arriola, the daughter of subsistence farmers, campesinos from Mexico, who came to the United States with a dream, a good education for their children. Yesenia has realized that dream, and now in her role as the director of Upward Bound, she's helping other parents realize the same for their children. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on immigrant stories, go to our website, immigrantstories.net.